Hello, I'm Dr. Jonathan Barker, pastor here at Amazing Grace Baptist Church in Mount Airy, North Carolina. I would like to personally thank you for taking out time today to tune in to our preaching podcast. We hope that this message will be a great encouragement to your heart today.
I want to talk to you about salvation, or if I could say it this way, how in the world does a man get saved? How in the world does a man get saved? You know what? A lot of times we preach, and I'm very guilty for this. We preach and think that everybody has the same understanding of the Word of God. But the truth of the matter is this, they don't. Matter of fact, it would probably surprise us to know, and don't take this statement the wrong way, but it would probably surprise us to know how many people really didn't know that much about the Word of God. We may have a head knowledge of a few things that we've heard down through the years, but has it ever become a heart knowledge to us today? And a lot of times we hear this statement made, are you saved? Have you been saved? Have you ever experienced salvation? If you died today, would you go to heaven or would you go to hell? So I want to take the Bible today and I want to show you how an individual can get saved. And can I ask you this question before I say anything else? Are you saved today? Do you know that you would go to heaven? If this was your last service, if you knew at 12 o'clock today, or 12:05, or at 1 o'clock today, that you was going to die, do you know that you would go to heaven? If you knew that this afternoon that Jesus was coming back, and I believe that He is coming back very soon, amen? And if you knew that He was going to come back this evening, do you know that you're saved? You may be sitting there today and say, preacher, well, I'm just not sure about that. Well, I want to take the Bible today, and I want to help you to know how to be saved. And you can leave today having a clear presentation of the gospel. Would you pray for me if you're saved as I preach this morning? I thought about this. When we come to the Bible, before anyone can ever be saved, and before anyone can ever have a true relationship with God, it really always comes down to this. It comes down to faith. Salvation is not built upon feelings. It's not built upon tradition. It's not built upon my grandma's belief or what a preacher says. Salvation is built upon solely the Almighty God and the Word of God today. It's not built on anything else. My hope is in Jesus Christ and Jesus Christ alone. If I cannot trust His Word, then I cannot trust His promises. If I cannot trust His promises, then I cannot trust my salvation. But the truth of the matter is this, I can trust my salvation, I can trust His promises, and I can trust His Word. Now listen to what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter number 11. You can stay where you're at. Hebrews chapter number 11 and verse number 6. Brother Corey's going to help us this morning. I give him a whole list of verses and he was thankful that I gave it to him early. Watch this. Hebrews 11 verse number 6. The Bible says, but without faith, it's impossible to please Him. Who is the Him? It's God. Without faith, you've got to have faith today. Faith is the foundation of our Christianity today. You say, preacher, I just don't practice faith. Well, you just lied. You tell you the reason why? You've already practiced faith on numerous occasions today. I watched a lot of you come in and sit down this morning, and you know what you did? You walked in, you found a seat, you sat down in it, and you went to church. You know what you did when you did that? You exercised faith. You believed that that chair would hold you up. I thought about the singers this morning. You know what they did? They exercised faith. What did they do? They picked up a microphone, they put it to their mouth, and they believed when they started singing that their voice would be amplified through the sound system. What was they doing? By faith, they was trusting that something would happen. Some of you exercised a lot of faith when you got in your vehicle this morning. If it was not a Ford, you exercised a lot of faith when you turned the key and believed that it would start. Nowadays, you don't even turn the key. And a lot of them, you push the button. But you know what you did? You pushed that button or you turned that key and you believed that it was going to happen. So faith is something that we exercise on a regular basis. And when it comes to Christianity, our faith in Christ, if we don't have that, we don't have a foundation in our Christianity. Think about this. Romans chapter number 10, verse number 17. The Bible says this. So then faith cometh by hearing. Now listen. And hearing by what? The Word of God. How is our faith in Christ established? It's through hearing the Word of God. I want to say something. I love singing. Somebody say amen. I love good singing. I love to hear our girls sing that just sung this morning. I love to hear our choir sing. Man, we heard numerous missionary families this week, and man, they sung so beautifully. But hear me and hear me well. If that song is not scripturally based, I'm not interested in it. It has to be based off of the Bible. Why? Because faith comes through hearing God's Word. You know what preaching does? The right kind of preaching? Preaching expounds on the Word of God. That's the reason our Sunday school classes, our music, our preaching, our young people, everything has to be centered around the Word of God. Because it's from this book, that we establish our faith. Faith isn't wishful thinking. Faith is believing that God has said, and what God has said is true. Now listen to what John 17:17 said. John 17:17 says this, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by what? Hearing by the Word of God. Well, what did the Word of God say about the Word of God? It's truth. It's truth today. Every jot and every tittle of this Bible that I hold in my hand today, it is true today. You say, preacher, do you really believe that in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth? I just don't believe it. I know it happened. You say, how do you know it happened? Because the Bible said it. You say, well, do you really believe the Bible's true? I know it's true. You say, well, how do you know it's true? Because what it's done in my life. Thy word is truth. Now, listen to what the Bible said in Titus chapter number 1, verse number 2. Titus chapter number 1, verse number 2. In the hope of eternal life, which God, that what? Cannot lie, promised before the world began. She said, preacher, what are you saying? I'm saying this. If he said it, it's truth, and he cannot lie. God cannot lie. If God said that he'd be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, then he'll be a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. If God said that we'd find a lily in a valley, we'll find a lily in the valley. If God said in his word that he was a bright morning star, he is a bright morning star. His word is truth, and he cannot lie. I'll say this to you today. The Bible is either completely true or it cannot be trusted at all. There's no middle ground. It's either completely true or it's not. Now, if we believe the Bible is true, then we must also believe that everything it says is true. Now, we've established the fact that the Bible's true, that God cannot lie, that faith comes through hearing this word. Now, I want to establish something else. And I'm headed to Romans chapter number 5. When I get there, I'm not going to be there long. But watch this. Here's another truth that we have to establish. Not just faith, not just truth. We have to establish this truth today. There is a heaven and there is a hell. There is a heaven and there is a hell. Heaven is real today. John said this in John chapter number 14. Matter of fact, Brother Corey, go to verse number 1. Is that too hard to do? Let's back up to verse number 1. He said, let your heart not be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. Look at verse 2. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. Watch this. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. You know what he's saying to the disciples in John 14? Let not your heart be troubled. Why was he saying don't let your heart be troubled? Because of chapter 13. You got to read the Bible in context. Because chapter 13, he's talked about them denying him. He's talked about them crucifying him. He's talked about them selling him out. And he says in chapter 14, now I've just told you all those things, but don't let it trouble you. Here's the reason you don't have to let it trouble you. When I leave here, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And I'm going to come back and I'm going to get you. And I'm going to take you to heaven with me. If we're saved today, there is a heaven. And it is real. And let me just chase this rabbit real quick. That's the reason in the midst of turmoil and the world being turned upside down, the child of God can still have peace in their heart. Because Jesus said, my Father said, my heavenly God said, let not your heart be troubled. I'm going to come back and get you. Amen. Hallelujah. Now let's get back to the message. Heaven is real. Jesus didn't speak of heaven as an idea. He spoke of it as a prepared place. Listen to 1 Peter chapter number 1, verse number 4. The Bible says this, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Who is that? That's the saved. So we've established heaven is real. Number two, we've got to establish hell is real. Hell is real. Luke chapter number 16. I know, Brother Corey, I told you not to do that one. But can we go there? Luke chapter number 16, verse number 22, 23, and 24. And then I'm going to give you a couple of things. Luke chapter number 16, whenever we get there, you that knows your Bible knows it's the story of the rich man. And in Luke chapter number 16, the rich man and Lazarus is having this conversation. And here's what he says in Luke chapter number 16, verse number 22. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died and was buried. There's a vast difference in that. One died and was buried. One died and was carried. There's a big difference in that. The Bible said in verse 23, and in hell he lift up his eyes. And in hell he lift up his eyes. Can I just say this to you today? You know what that is saying? This is what that is saying today. That there is a heaven and there is a hell today. Now, if we know that there's a heaven and that there is a hell, Brother Corey, I'm going to skip the rest of that and go straight to Romans chapter number 5. If we know that there is a heaven, and we know that there is a hell, and we know that the Bible is true, then how do we escape hell and get to heaven? I don't know about you, but I'm interested in that. Let me just back up and rephrase. There was a time that I was really interested in that. As a 16-year-old young man when I realized I was lost. Are you saved today? Do you believe the Bible? Do you believe that it's true? Well, here's the way that we get saved. I want you to go with me. Are you in Romans chapter number 5? We're going to go through this chapter in rapid speed, all right? But I want to give you some things out of this. If you write in your Bible, you're going to have some of these things wrote down that I've dealt with previously here at the church. But that's all right. I'm going to obey the Lord this morning. If we're ever going to be saved, well, number one, we must see ourselves as a sinner. We've got to realize that we are sinners today. Note with me what your Bible said, Romans chapter number 1, verse number 8. But God commendeth his love towards us in that what? While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Now you remember what I said the basis of Christianity is? It's one word. Now watch Romans chapter number 5, verse number 1. Therefore, being justified by faith. He starts chapter number 5 with faith. Everything in chapter number 5 has to be believed by faith. It all comes back to faith today, church. Here's what he's saying to us in verse number 8, that God commended his love towards us in that what? While we were yet what? Sinners. Every one of us today, You know what that word every means? Everyone. That means everybody. That means all. That means every person that's present here today. You're a sinner. I'm a sinner. There's two types of sinners here today. Lost sinners and saved sinners. You'll never become a saved sinner until you realize you're a lost sinner. Now, there's a vast difference in them. We don't sin and get away with it once we're saved. There's the chastening hand of God. That's a whole nother message. But watch this. They must see themselves as a sinner. Know what the Bible said in verse number 12. Romans chapter 5, verse number 12. Wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You've got to realize you're a sinner this morning. Say, preacher, I come to be uplifted. Well, stay with me. We'll get there in just a minute. But we've got to establish this fact. We're sinners today. Ever since Genesis chapter number 3, and I'm not going to labor this point, but it's so interesting that he said, wherefore is by one man sin entered into the world. Eve was the one that took of the fruit to begin with, but he put the blame on man. You mean tell you the reason why the man's responsible for his house? And Adam was the one that he told not to. You go back and read Genesis 1, 2, and 3. Adam was the one God told not to take of that, and it was Adam's responsibility to tell his wife. Whether he did or not, I don't know, but it was his responsibility. And when we come to Romans chapter number 5, God says, hey, listen, every man is a sinner. You say, preacher, I'm a good person. There's none good, no, not one. Say, preacher, I've never done this or I've never done that. Preacher, I've went to church my whole life. I went to church my whole life. Church is all I've ever known. I grew up in church. Matter of fact, we watched a movie about Hitler last night and about sharing the gospel in those days. And they was talking about that with Hitler in the 40s and the 30s and the 40s and then the 50s and the 60s in Berlin. And then the building of the Berlin Wall in the late 60s. And then in 1989, you that knows history knows that those three walls, there was three walls there. Those Berlin walls were torn down and freedom was on the east and west side of Berlin. In 1989, my dad was preaching in Berlin and I stood beside the Berlin walls. I had traveled all over the world with my dad, him preaching the gospel. But at 16 years old, I came to a place where I realized that traveling with dad, that singing in a youth choir, that working a bus route would never get me to heaven, that I was a sinner going to hell. And until you see yourself a sinner, you'll never go to the next step of salvation. Number one, we must see ourselves a sinner. Number two, watch this. We must see him, or we must see ourselves in need of a Savior. Not just that we're sinners, but we need help. We need help. We need a Savior. I can't get to God on my own. There was one time that God and man fellowshipped without a mediator, and that was in the garden. And you know what happened? Hey, here's what happened. Sin entered into the world. And God came in the garden and said, Adam, where art thou? And God said, hey, the only way that I can fellowship with you, I've got to make a sacrifice. And he made a sacrifice and clothed them in skins. And because of the sacrifice, he then had fellowship back with God. The only way that I can have fellowship with God, the only way that I can commune with God, the only way that God can commune with me, watch this, is through a sacrifice today. And let me tell you who that sacrifice was. It was the Lord Jesus Christ. And if you're here today and you don't know him, by faith you've got to believe that he really did live, that he really did die, that he really did resurrect, that he really did ascend, that he really is coming back. And he alone is the only one that can. You've got to see yourself needing him. You got to have him. You got to have him. Watch what your Bible said. In need of a Savior. Watch what your Bible said in verse number 6. For when we were yet without strength. Did you catch that? when we were yet without strength. In other words, we couldn't do what needed to be done. In due time, Christ died for who? The ungodly. The sinner. Can I tell you something today? You've got to see that you need Him. You need a Savior. You've got to see yourself lost. Number two, you've got to see yourself in need of a Savior. But number three, this is so important. You got to see who the Savior is. You got to see who. It's not just anybody. You're hearing a preacher this morning. I'm not going to heaven through my dad's prayer. I'm not going to heaven through my mama's prayer. I had an old time shouting granny. But I'm not going to heaven because of my shouting granny. The only way that I'll ever get to heaven is through Him. Watch what your Bible said, verse number one. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God. So you know what my Bible says? You already read further. I wish you wouldn't have, because you're getting my thunder. What's at the end of that verse? But you know what the Bible said? The only way that we can be justified, just as if I had never sinned, is what that means. The only way I can be justified is by faith. The only way I can have peace with God is by faith. The only way I can have fellowship with God is by faith. Through who? Jesus Christ. Through Jesus Christ. My hope is built on Him. My salvation is anchored in Him. It's not in nobody else. It's in Him. Look what the Bible said. By whom also we have access by faith into this grace. Thank God for that. Wherein we stand and rejoice in a hope of the glory of God. Look at verse 7. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet peradventure for a good man some would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by what? His blood. Not by my blood, not by my works, not by me going to church, not by me tithing, not by me giving to missions, not by me being anything to do with me. It's all through His blood. We'll go through His blood, or we'll die and go to devil's hell one day. It's through His blood. Watch what He says. That being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled. Boy, that accounting's term right there. I don't have time to preach it. But we were reconciled to God by the death of what? His Son. Much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. You know what He's saying? Here's what He's saying to us. It looks really bad, but when we go through the blood, it looks really good. We're headed to hell before Calvary, but thank God when we're saved, when we put our faith in Him, when we trust Him to save us, it looks really good because we're headed to heaven. Let's read on, verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin. And so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Skip down to verse number 15 with me. The Bible said, but not as the offense, so also is the free gift. For if through the offense of one many be dead, much more the grace of God and the gift by grace, which is by one man, Jesus Christ, hath abounded unto many. And not as it was by one that sinned, so is the gift. For the judgment was by one to condemnation, but the free gift is of many offenses unto justification. For if by one man's offense death reigned by one, much more they which receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so by the obedience of one shall many be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abound, hallelujah, where sin abound, grace did much more abound, that as sin hath reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life. Here it is again. By Jesus Christ, our Lord. There is no other way. We got to see ourselves lost. We got to see ourselves in need of a Savior. Oh, but we've got to understand who that Savior is. And that Savior is Jesus Christ today. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If we don't go through Jesus, if we don't go through the blood of Jesus, if we don't pass by Calvary, we will die and go to devil's hell. Oh, but aren't you glad where sin abound? That's all of us. Grace did much more abound. You may be sitting here today and you say, preacher, you just don't know how much sin I got. You just don't know how much grace he's got. Can I just say that again? You just don't know how much grace he's got. Because what he said was this, where sin abound, grace did much more abound. John Dorsey was preaching. It's 3 minutes till 12. John Dorsey was preaching one time here at the church years ago. And he said, you got all your sins in your mind? He said, now, here's what I want you to do. Some of y'all will remember this. He said, I want you to get you a wheelbarrow. I want you to put them sins in that wheelbarrow. He said, now here you are. You know how big Brother John used to be, and he's waddling around. He said, you're rolling that little wheelbarrow around. You try to do something for God, and that sin pops up. You can't serve me because you done this. You can't serve me because you done that. You can't, he said, everywhere you go, you're rolling that little wheelbarrow and all those sins are popping up. He said, what you need to do is roll your little wheelbarrow down to the altar and understand that God's got a semi-truck with a dump trailer behind it, and he'll back his grace up to your little wheelbarrow and dump all that grace out on it, and you'll never even see that again. That's the grace of God today. No matter where you've been, no matter the lifestyle that you may have lived. Well, there was a woman of Samaria that was there at the well that day and had been married 5 times and was living with a man, and Jesus gave her water that she would never thirst again. There was a Gadarene maniac that was demon possessed and made his dwellings in the graves, but when Jesus passed by, he went home clothed and in his right mind. There was a lady that was caught in the act of adultery, but Jesus said, neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more. You say, preacher, what are you saying? Here's what I'm saying. You may have sin, and I may have sin. Oh, but because of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, where sin abound, grace, thank God, grace did much more abound there. It's the grace of God. You've got to see who can change your life. A lot of people says this, I'm going to turn over a new leaf and then I'm going to get saved. You'll never get saved because you'll never be able to get the new leaf turned over. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, though, he's a new creature. Quit trying to turn over a new leaf and become a new creature. Amen. Become a new creature in him. Now that we've established that we got to see ourselves as a sinner. Not only do we see ourselves as a sinner, we've got to realize that we're in need of a Savior. And now that we've realized that we're in need of a Savior, and we've realized who that Savior is, it's Jesus. So, preach, what do I do next? Go to chapter 10. Look with me in verse number 9. Chapter 10, verse number 9. Miss Daniel, will you come start playing, please? Chapter 10, verse number 9. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart, there's that faith, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, watch this, thou shalt be saved. That's a promise from God. Look what he said in verse number 10. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. The Bible said in verse number 11, for the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. Let me tell you the reason verse number 12 is between verse 11 and 13. Number one, because God wanted it to be. But number two, he's showing us it don't matter who you are. There's no different in the Jew and the Greek. There's no different in nationalities. There's no different in races. There's no different in gender. We're all sinners. But look what he said in verse 13. For whosoever. You know what that word means around here? Everybody. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. So, preacher, will he save me? Well, did he say he would? Did he say he would? We could put it this way. I know Brother Jacob's testimony, so I'm going to use him for just a minute. The night Brother Jacob got saved, he could have said this, for if Jacob shall call upon the name of the Lord, Jacob shall be saved. Matter of fact, more than likely, when I led Brother Mike to the Lord standing right here on the altar one Sunday morning, I probably made this statement. Brother Mike, you can take that verse and go, for if Mike shall call upon the name of the Lord, Mike shall be saved. I don't know your name today. I don't know your story. I don't know your heart. I don't know if you're saved and I don't know if you're lost. There's one person that I know for sure is saved. That's me. I don't know everybody else's heart. There's some people here today that I truly believe they are saved, but ultimately that's between you and God. But you know what you can do today? You can take that verse and put your name in it. For if Robert shall call upon the name of the Lord, Robert shall be saved. For if Bobby shall call upon the name of the Lord, Bobby shall be saved. For if Elizabeth shall call upon the name of the Lord, Elizabeth shall be saved. For if Beth shall call upon the name of the Lord, Beth shall... Put your name there. Here's what he says. All you that are labor or heavy laden, come unto me, and I'll give you rest. So I want to ask you this question again in closing. Are you saved? Are you ready to meet the Lord? And if not, why not make today the day you get ready? There's one thing that will keep you from getting saved today if you're not. There's two things. The first thing is you. The second thing is pride. What will somebody think about me? What will somebody say about me? Let me tell you what somebody's going to think about you and what somebody's going to say about you. Thank God. I sure am glad that they realized they was lost. I'm telling you, I'll never forget walking out on the platform of Turner's Creek Baptist Church, July the 20th, 1994, as a 16-year-old young man. I got saved in the adult ministry. I don't know that I got saved back there. Honestly, I think I got saved the moment I stood up. The moment I stood up and stepped, I really believe that's when I got saved. You say, why? Because at that moment, by faith, for with the heart man believeth unto righteousness. That's what I done at that moment. I believed that he would save me or I'd have never started out. I can't tell you when the water became wine, but I can tell you somewhere along the way it did. So truthfully, I believe I got saved when I stood up. I went to the back. I prayed. And I'll never forget the fear. And can I just say this? God hath not given us a spirit of fear. I was too immature to know that at the moment. Too immature in the Bible. I was scared to death. To walk out on that platform, 250, 300 teenagers there in youth camp. Dad was a pastor and leading the service. And I thought, I've got to go out there and tell him that I just got saved. I thought, Brother Matt, I got to go tell Brother Joe. But Joe Arthur was preaching that man. I got to go tell him I just got saved. I'm the pastor's son here. My dad's going to be disappointed in me. I'll never forget, I came out and I stepped up on the back side of the platform there and I walked across that long platform. And I got to my dad and he put his hand, he was wearing a lapel mic, and he put his hand over it like that. Put his hand over it and he looked at me and he said, "You need something?" I said, "Yeah, I need to tell you something."
"What?"
I said, "A while ago, I realized I was lost. And I asked Jesus to come into my heart and save me." And you know what? Daddy didn't go, "Son, that's a disappointment to me. We're going to have to turn around and tell everybody here that the pastor's son got saved." Let me tell you what Daddy done. Daddy began worshiping the Lord and praising the Lord. You know what people did there? They began running up on the platform and hugging my neck. Joe Arthur kissed me on the cheek. I said, "You've been hanging around Brother Don way too long." Joe Arthur kissed me on the cheek. He said, "Boy, that's the greatest decision you'll ever make. Stop allowing the devil to tell you that others are going to think something different about you. Stop allowing your pride to stand in the way. If you're lost today, I've just showed you from the Bible. The Bible is real. We have to put faith in it. Jesus does love you. Jesus will change your life. But you have to let him. I've taken you as far as I can take you. You got to do the rest of it."